fighting for America.
This is illegal. It's got to stop.
Why are you guys
stop
ready
today?
Mexico is very culpable in this.
They need to take all these children and put them right down the Mexico border.
It's not about race. It's about resources.
Fighting for Idaho.
The Bureau of Land Management agreed with a Nevada sheriff that rancher Clive and Bundy must be held accountable for his role in an April standoff.
And it's getting ridiculous.
Fighting for you.
I just took exception to your statement about soccer being a socialistic sport. Have you heard of the Olympics?
She's absolutely right.
That's enough out of you. Please cut his mic.
Boise's Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. No, we love to reward good works, and none better than our friend Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch. Chris, good to have you with us.
Great to be out with you, Kevin. How are you today?
Oh, you know, if only you had as much exposure as you have here at 580KIDO. I mean, we can never talk about just what's going on here because the press just kind of sits back and glosses everything over, so we're fired up to have you here. And first and foremost, are you shocked at all the congressional folks that are, you know, with their outrage and everything else concerning the Lois Lerner emails and the law stuff? If it hadn't been for you guys, we'd never know about this.
Strange but true. Not even strange, just kind of pathetic but true. Our congressional so-called leaders are just they're busy doing publicity stunt stuff and not really doing what they could do, which is, of course, impeach other constitutional officers. They'd never be able to impeach the president with Harry Reid sitting in the Senate, but they could go after other secretaries and agency heads. And if they really had guts, they could just shut down funding, right?
That's a case. How, you know, we go back to, it's funny because we've got National Geographic running the 90s, the last great decade or whatever, and we go back to the Clinton impeachment. How far or how little, how far above have we gone as far as lawbreaking, comparing what's going on now to what happened with Bill Clinton, what happened with Richard Nixon?
Well, it's a progression, right? So Clinton, Nixon was interested in sort of the petty personal politics of his own paranoia, really. And he only talked about going after people with the IRS and was impeached for that in part, or at least had articles of impeachment drafted. He was never actually impeached, of course. But those articles of impeachment were drafted against him just for talking about using the IRS. In this case, the Obama administration is actively engaged in the pattern and practice of targeting their opponents and going after them with the IRS. So Nixon would blush at what this administration has done. And with the Clintons, you know, it was sort of a very thing of the White House, right? So they wanted to figure out a way to make a buck off every activity going on in the White House and personally benefit from it. The Obama administration is involved in something, frankly, more sinister. Now, they promised fundamental transformation, and unfortunately, our sort of dopey American public, I hate to say that about our public, but our electorate is very naive. They said, wow, that sounded good. That's like when they put the you know, on a package of cookies, new, right? Everyone falls for it. It's the same old cookies. They just put the label new on it. So the Obama administration promised something new. And we went, great, we'd love something new. And they didn't realize what they were getting, and that is, you know, a fundamental transformation that really creates a active, growing socialism that really betrays our Constitution.
Well, Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. If you or I did this, or if the Republicans did what Eric Holder, Lois Lerner, and the crew have done, what would happen?
There would be a constant 24/7 drumbeat on every cable news channel, save perhaps Fox, and every newspaper, certainly, about the criminality of the administration. And it would be relentless, and there'd be finger wagging and head shaking, and you know, it would be a very deliberate, overt attack on the administration, and then a very subtle sort of editorial slant in virtually everything. You know, whether it be late night comics cracking jokes down to sort of tisk-tisk interviews on the Sunday shows, it would be a barrage of an attack on the administration. And here it barely gets any coverage at all, or the coverage is so dumbed down you wouldn't even know that something wrong had happened.
Well, see, this is what laws have been broken, privacy has been shattered, and we all just sit around waiting for Eric Holder to do something, which, Chris Farrell, you know he's not going to do.
Never. Just out of the question. Eric Holder will take no action against this administration. He is a puppet. He is a bought and paid for political operative working at the behest of Obama and Valerie Jarrett.
So for those of us that sit back and have just enjoyed the 4th of July fireworks and think everything's great, are we living in the Matrix?
There's a certain part of that. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. I went to a minor league baseball game, which is great because it's kind of baseball at its purest, right? I was at a minor league baseball game over the weekend, and it was good fun, great baseball, fireworks, kids running the bases. It was sort of the best of Americana, right? It's what you think of with the 4th of July celebration kind of thing. And so it kind of renews your faith in just good old USA kind of stuff. But then the other part of it is what we're faced with at the national level, which has nothing to do with what I just described. It's a much more cynical process. And so it's tough. It's tough to reconcile the two.
580 KIDO as we continue on with Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch, Kevin Miller in the morning. So where do we go from here with the IRS? We can't emphasize how important this is, and yet the beat continues on. Does the press really call the shots when it comes to enforcing the laws in this country?
Well, they give political cover, and they allow, you know, sort of a pass or a wink and a nod to what would otherwise be very selective sort of enforcement. You know, Thursday we've got a hearing in federal district court here in D.C. in front of Judge Emmett Sullivan, because we've pointed out to the good judge that the IRS has made false and misleading statements to him for months now, because they have never once mentioned any sort of missing emails or missing records in their document production that we've forced them to produce to us. And so they've been in front of Congress saying, whoopsie, we lost all this email. And out of the other corner of their mouth, they've lied to the judge and never once telling him that there's any sort of missing records. And so Thursday there's a hearing, and we're very interested to see how the IRS that has painted themselves into this corner is going to explain themselves to the judge.
Chris Farrell joining us from Judicial Watch. Chris, I it's amazing to me that we have the Speaker of the House is going to sue the president now. What's your take on that?
It's kind of a childish publicity stunt, frankly. It's the Speaker already has all the powers under the Constitution that he needs, right? He should have started proceedings of impeachment against other constitutional officers, secretaries of the various departments, people like Koskinen at the IRS commissioner. I'm not saying him in particular, though his performance in the last couple of weeks is dreadful. But there's other agency heads that if they wish to begin procedures or actions against, they could have. The House still holds the power of the purse. Anything they don't like, they could selectively simply shut down. They lack the courage to do so. But, I don't care if it's a 7-year-old in his allowance, right? You shut down the money, guess whose attention you get, right? But they're so afraid, they're so terrified of being called mean, right, that they lack the courage to act. And frankly, it's their duty to act, right? So there's all sorts of powers given to the Congress. The Speaker normally is an enormously powerful person, but they lack any sort of leadership skill or drive. And so they resort to weird publicity stunts and litigation, frankly, that's going nowhere. It's a waste of time.
Well, you bring up the IRS commissioner. Have you ever seen such arrogance out of a public official? He treated Congress as a joke, and obviously this is a microcosm of the attitude that the administration seems to have for the executive branch.
Yeah, so there's two questions. One is, look, even if you think the guy's a moron that you're testifying in front of, you're obligated, out of respect for the institution and the office, to at least go through the motions of being respectful and civil and sort of engaging at a professional level. That was utterly abandoned, right? So we had grown men sitting across, tables from each other or a hearing room, basically hurling insults at each other. You're a liar. No, you're not. Yes, you are. This very petty stuff. It's nothing new. It's happened a million times before, but it's just sort of pathetic. And that takes it from the professional level down to the personal level, where there's just a complete disregard for the actual folks involved in the process, right? They hold them in such contempt, literally and figuratively, that there's no there. It's a contest of people making snarky remarks to each other, while the public's interest, the citizens, who they only derive their power from without consent, are ignored.
Right. Again, I've never seen anything like it. And look, I've watched a lot of the best of Eric Holder, and this guy made Holder seem respectful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Again, more on that coming up. Our great friend Chris Farrell joining us from Judicial Watch here at 580KIDO. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on the border and why it matters. Anything else you guys are working on before we get to traffic here at 580KIDO?
It's an endless lineup. I'd take over your show.
Indeed. More coming up with Chris Farrell next here at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Chris Farrell joins us from Judicial Watch. Chris, let's talk a little bit about the crisis on the border, and do you find it unusual that we don't have transparency on what's really happening at the border?
Yeah, I guess the Congressman Bridenstine from Oklahoma tried to go out to one of the holding areas in Oklahoma at Fort Sill to see what was going on, and the good congressman was turned away. So in his district, on a U.S. Army base, where a facility being run by Health and Human Services was taking care of people, these kids that are here, the congressman was told, beat it, get out of here, which I find absolutely mind-boggling.
Well, you could forget about his vote when it comes up for more appropriations for the military or Department of Homeland Security. How big a deal is this?
I think it's huge. I mean, one of the fundamental jobs of a congressman is to do exactly what he was doing, which is go out into his district and see what's going on and see how the government's performing and how money's being spent. And in this case, totally disrespected and, basically told drop dead. They said that if he sent an email, they might be able to get back to him by the 21st of July.
The 21st of July, gosh knows how many more folks are going to be coming in, what the conditions are, and the idea of oversight. Where do you think that these people actually got the authority to deny the congressman?
It's a position they've taken that they're going to stonewall and jam Congress as much as humanly possible. This is a manufactured crisis dreamt up by the Obama administration and their allies, in the open borders movement, whether it's La Raza, MALDEF, and the rest of them, who I believe have been down in Central America for months now, promoting, organizing a campaign for these kids to come north and create a crisis that will give Obama the excuse to grant amnesty. And that's what this is all about.
And yet you have the president saying that he's going to ship them back. Of course, it's kind of tough if you ship people to Indiana, North Carolina, and all over the country to round them back up and then send them home.
And who's paying attention? Who's going to do any kind of follow-through other than Judicial Watch, frankly? I mean, who's really going to track this and try to provide any accountability for the public? It becomes a shrug, right? It's another one of the forest fires set by the Obama people.
Well, Chris Farrell, this is why it's important to support Judicial Watch. If people want to support your group, what can they do? What do they need to do to hold the government accountable?
Well, if they'd like to find out more about what we do and how we do it, they should go to judicialwatch.org, O-R-G. We've got a ton of great information up there for folks to learn about what the government's doing or not doing. And we would appreciate any and all support. We're organized as a nonprofit charity or an educational foundation. We also file a lot of lawsuits and hold folks accountable, so we'd appreciate any support.
Well, it is important because Congress isn't doing their job. You've got the administration running wild. How big of a threat is this administration to fundamentally, radically, as we've talked about earlier, just rewiring how our government works?
They're already well down the road on this. It's very sad. It's very dangerous, frankly. And no one should take it for granted. No one should, if you were to compare the America of 2016 to the America of even, you know, 2086, 30 years ago, you're in a different world.
I just really come back to this, and you speak about this all the time. You do the research. It's unnervingly fascinating yet irritating that the laws are being broken. Holder runs around with immunity. Lerner is not held accountable. You've got the commissioner smacking Congress, and the press kind of blames everybody else for not liking the president.
Yeah, and of course, if you don't like the president or you don't like his particular policies, it's not a matter of an intellectual disagreement over sort of political philosophy. You're obviously a racist instead. That's the card that's usually played right away.
Well, how dangerous is that in this overly saturated, overly caffeinated society where we have these false accusations, the laws are being broken, and we just kind of sit there and go, well, there's not much we can do about it because one side says this and the other side says the laws weren't being broken.
Yeah, it's a circular reasoning, unfortunately. So that's why it's important to file lawsuits and hold these folks accountable, and that's what we do. It's the only way to get to the bottom of it. Otherwise, it's just a lot of hot air being blown around the room.
Speaking of hot air, what do you make of Chuck Todd's comments concerning the IRS that there were victimless crimes?
You know, I don't know of his comments. You kind of caught me flat-footed on that one. I'm not surprised, but I don't know what he said in the context of it. So I'm going to take a pass on that one.
Oh, my goodness. We stumped you. That's a first for good old K. Miller here. But, just, again, in the context, well, there wasn't really any harm. And then you think of the people like Betsy Gertzen with the Wetumpka Tea Party, with people that turned over their list to the government. And I think that a lot of folks have lacked the critical thinking skills that our country was founded on the fear of big government, not just the fear of the crown, but the government becoming too powerful to be becoming an entity unto itself. And look, I'm going to go Articles of Confederation on you here at 580KIDO. That's why our first document had the federal government so weak.
Precisely. You know, people forget the government, they're nothing but our trusted servants. That's all they are. That's all they are. They have no authority or power other than that which we give them.
Chris Farrell, finally here at 580KIDO, what should we be looking out for this week from your group and others?
The biggest thing, I think, of these hearings, both our hearing and then the subsequent hearing brought by True the Vote, another organization we work with often, on these IRS emails, that's really where the news is going to be made because you've got two judges who I think are going to be not terribly entertained by the IRS's performance to date, let alone whatever lying they've done. And I think that will really those will be the newsmakers for the week.
Chris Farrell, thank you very much, sir. We appreciate it.
Great to be on. Thanks.
All right. Our great friend Chris Farrell with Judicial Watch. And before we move on here, folks, you know, we talk about the power of prayer. We speak of the power of our history. But we are living in dangerous times. And whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, the idea, and I would love for any of our folks that have voted for the president. I met a guy the other day that said, I love Obama. And I go, you love Obama? And he said to me, I love Obama.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the girls that come on.
Well, he wasn't really a girl, and I said to him, why do you love Obama? He goes, what he's done for this country. And I mean, I'm thinking to myself, what he's done to this country. If nothing else, you don't have to be a scholar. I'm far from a scholar, and I realize the danger when you have people like Becky Gerritsen, a young mother whose husband retired from the military, and the IRS said, turn over your papers. Turn over everything else. I mean, we hear about this all the time with Arizona Prop 1087. Oh, you can't ask people if they're in this country legally, except they do ask for your driver's license when you're speeding or something like that. We can't do that because that's too totalitarian. And yet, the government is out of control. Now, I know it's easier to sit back and wonder what LeBron James is going to do and sit back and... and really, what's on the vacation? And you're right, it is so easier. And I really relate to what Glenn Beck said. Dude, do you think it's easy to yap about this every day? Sure, I want to do other things. But man, you go back to the history of this country, and we can't tolerate this. Well, what do? You write letters, you see all your congressmen and senators, and let them know how important it is to you. I mean, that's what we can do. Empower Congress, not neuter it. And that's what this administration has done, because lo and behold, nobody wants to be offensive. Nobody wants to be controversial. Nobody wants to have an opinion. That's the sad part about it today. So if America dies, will we save it? At 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. I know it's easier just to sit back and relax. Hey, you've worked hard. Hey, it's blankety-blank hard out there. I totally get it. And by the way, big ups to everybody from landscapers to people working on roads to everybody else, to farmers, to ranchers that are working in this heat. God bless you. You're working hard today. We appreciate it. So props to you. Coming up next, we'll talk about the border and take your calls. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the border. Before that, our great friend Jennifer Kuiper joining us from Fox News Radio with the latest edition of the Fox Wheels. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you. And today we're talking about American-made cars.
Does that exist anymore?
Well, you know, Cars.com has come out with its most American-made vehicles list. And at the very top is the Ford F-150. Okay, a truck, you think muscle car, sure, yeah, you know. But then what follows might surprise some. In second place, you have the Toyota Camry. Third is the Honda Odyssey, followed by the rest of them. Toyota has the Sienna, the Tundra, the Avalon. And then we don't see what we consider an American name, Chevy Corvette Stingray, coming in until toward the bottom of the list, followed by the Honda Ridgeline, the Crosstour, and then finally the Dodge SRT Viper. So we asked Cars.com's Patrick Olson about this. I said, you know, when you Ford F-150, sure, but when you think of American-made, you think Ford and, you know, GM and Chrysler. And he said, well, what they look at is the percentage of domestic parts in a car, and to make the list, a car or truck has to be at least 75% domestic. And he said that virtually every new Camry that's sold in the U.S. is built in the U.S., and Honda builds more cars now in the U.S. than it builds in Japan.
You know, there are a lot of people, Jennifer, that criticize me for driving a Camry. Could you repeat number two again, please?
Number two would be the Toyota Camry. That's wow. One of the most American-made cars. Yep.
Amazing.
Cars.com.
And yep. we take a look at that here at 580KIDO. What does this really mean for the quote-unquote American car manufacturers? Of course, General Motors has its issues. They're expanding overseas. You've got people building plants in China. Chrysler being owned by...
Fiat.
Yeah, Fiat. I was going to say Renault, but that was...
forces with Fiat.
Yeah, that was someone else. And, I mean, Ford, the American company, but they only have, you know, one in the top five.
Yeah, Ford is in the top. Yeah, exactly. In the top five, Ford. And then you look down at the end of the list, midway through, Chevy Corvette and the Stingray. And then at the end, Dodge SRT Viper. So what we're seeing, though, is that these are 10 American-made vehicles lists. Last year, there were 14. And in 2012, there were 20 American-made vehicles on the list, and 30 in 2011. So it looks like we have a growing globalization of the industry. And you hear that a lot, especially coming out of Chrysler now that they've joined with Fiat, how they want to work on this global platform. GM has mentioned it too, so has Ford. So, you know, they want to be able to make a car and be able to put it in more places, in more countries than they had been doing. They really want to expand. So we're hearing a lot more of that. But here, I mean, you hear about what the VW factory, I think it's in Tennessee, a huge one they had built. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Honda and Toyota, they have factories here too.
Amazing what has happened when you think about just, what, 10, 20 years ago. It was, you know, revolutionary that, you know, Honda came to Ohio or Honda went to Tennessee. And then you take a look at just the American South, you could call it mini Detroit. You've got Mercedes, BMW, Nissan, Honda, Toyota. They're all there.
Exactly, exactly. And it saves them on shipping costs since they make the vehicles here. And then for us, it means more jobs. I mean, the Cars.com people, they also look at the point of assembly. It has to be in the United States. And, of course, that's on top of what I mentioned before about it has to be at least 75% domestic. So you are seeing these foreign automakers who have built plants here, and in some cases pretty big plants, and they're doing their work here. So that's what basically we're looking at when we talk about American-made vehicles. And also a kind of an interesting – I put a fun story in Fox Wheels this week about a guy who just got his Corvette back, his 1979 Corvette, after having it stolen 33 years ago. And he is thrilled. GM actually helped him ship it back up. What happened was this guy, who's now, I think, 74 years old, had a 79 Corvette, and in 1981 it was stolen. He got a call earlier this month saying, hey, we found your Corvette outside of a police station in Mississippi, so why don't you come get it? Wait a minute. That car was stolen over 30 years ago. So he used to work for GM, used to test cars. He said the 79 was his favorite. He's had three other ones since then. And I guess somehow they got in touch with GM, and GM said, we got to get that car back up here. And they had it shipped up, and now the 79 Corvette is back in Detroit, and the guy has a big old smile on his face.
Got to love that 79 Corvette. We appreciate it, Jennifer. Thank you.
Sure, anytime.
All right, take care. Our great friend Jennifer Kuiper joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Of course, a lot going on the border. Our Congressman Labrador, discussing it this week on the Sunday shows.
The thing this administration needs to do is immediately deport these families, these children. I know it sounds harsh. I know it sounds difficult. But they're creating a crisis at this time that is actually going to harm these children.
And we have the Boise rabble-rouser taking issue with me, Preacher Miller. Your position on the children who have fled their country, many atop railroad cars, to find a better life is once again proving the old adage, you Christians are so unlike your Christ, as reflecting in his direct teachings in the Bible. And he talks about Matthew, Mark, and everything else. But on the other hand, if we can't afford them, how can we take care of them? I'm sure the children on the buses in Marietta, whatever, from countries such as Mexico are Christians that didn't say to each other, this is not about us, it's about that bad man Obama. Rebuking children is so unchristian-like. Looking for moral justification to be unchristian-like is not right. You can look that up in the Bible. Hallelujah, Boise rabble-rouser. Interesting thoughts. We go to Pro-Life with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Well, yes. Congressman Labrador is right, and I believe that the Obama administration made a secret deal with Mexico, because prior to this time, Mexico would block anybody coming from Central America through Mexico to get to the United States. So now they're allowing that, and it's obvious some kind of an arrangement to have that. Now, I think that anybody that doesn't ask for the impeachment of the president is not doing the right thing. And so Mr. Labrador needs to do that. All of our congressional people, it's gone way too far. And maybe we need a new Speaker of the House, so they should vote on that right away.
You know about that. It's all about a bait and switch.
Yeah, it is a bait and switch.
They're going to promise you something, and then they're going to say, pro-life who?
Right. Well, you know, it's all a big game back there, and unless the Congress does not talk about impeachment, I don't have any respect for any of them, and I don't see any of them
just really hammering on that. And you don't see our local officials. That's why I say the governor's a wimp, you know, the lieutenant governor, all of the constitutional officers, they're all a bunch of wimps. They could all speak up for impeachment, but nobody's doing it, the state legislators. So we're in big trouble because we're a bunch of wimps.
Well, you're not a wimp.
No, I'm not.
All right. Pro-life, thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, quickly, the traffic at 580 KIDO.
Kevin Miller wants to hear from you.
I appreciate you, Kevin. I'm your biggest fan.
Yes, good morning, Kevin. I love your show, by the way.
You got a great show. I sure appreciate it.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good.
There's a lot of people out here appreciate your show and appreciate what you do. And
Kevin, you know I love you, man. You know I think you're a great talk host. You're wonderful listening every morning.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And we're blessed to be a part of your day. Kevin Miller in the morning. Don't forget Glenn Beck, Dave Ramsey, Sean Hannity. Only on Idaho's Place to Talk, 580 KIDO. We go to Tea Party Bob. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Hope you enjoyed your holiday and your fireworks.
Sure.
You know, you said something important. I think people need to have personal responsibility and respect for others they live around. That includes fireworks. Just wanted to touch base on this border crossing thing. Pro-life may have a point about the administration making a deal with the Mexicans since they are allowing these people to enter the country where they have very strict immigration laws and let them go through on the other side. By not enforcing our immigration policy or closing our borders, we're sending the wrong message and giving an open invitation to anyone who wants to come here. All they have to do is just cross our southern borders. Congressman Labrador is right. On his call to send back this constant stream of illegal immigrants crossing our borders, you know, these unfortunate children have been told that the U.S. is the land of milk and honey where you get free food, free medical care, and free education. The real Christian thing to do here is to give them the medical care they need, and instead of spending money shipping these kids off to crowded camps around the country, we should be putting them back on buses and planes back to their parents and relatives in their own country.
Got to say it, you know, Congressman Labrador was right on that one.
Absolutely. And thank you for saying that.
What's that supposed to mean?
I do miss you, Kevin.
I miss you, Tea Party Bob.
I got to get ready for Saturday, buddy.
All right, we'll be seeing you.
You have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, our great friend, Tea Party Bob, just to show we're fair and balanced, the return of Liberal Steve.
Oh, my God. Blah, blah, blah. See, this is why the GOP is going off the edge of the cliff at 90 miles an hour.
You've missed us, haven't you?
It's this Labrador stuff.
Hold on. You have missed us, haven't you?
Well, of course I miss my people and your sheeple. But come on. See, this is why Hillary's just going to skate right into the White House. Is because
I didn't think we were talking about that. I thought we were talking about the border.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about the border. President Obama is the only one that's going to step up and make something happen. We got a lame Congress that's been talking about nothing but nothing and nothing. And then, come on, we got senators from the state of Idaho that are drinking on Christmas Eve, but everybody else in the world is bad people. This is why everybody's so two-faced. That our 30, 40, 50-year-olds can see right through it, And that's why they go back to the polls.
You know, I don't know if we've really ever missed you because, once again, I don't know if you've added anything.
Well, you and your people just can't take it.
Well, you're part of our people, too.
I'm so right all the time.
Well, wait a minute. You weren't right about the soccer team.
Well,
you owe Phil Hardy and Kevin Miller lunch.
Well, Phil wanted to give me 1 point, but come on, you know.
Would you admit that you were wrong?
Well, yeah, I was wrong. They didn't totally zip out. But here's the point.
That was a fluke goal, by the way, though. That was a fluke.
Yeah. Well, if it wasn't for that goalie, they would have been trampled. If it wasn't for that U.S. goalie. And come on, did you listen to the interview of those people? Every single one of them, our players, USA players, all had foreign accents.
I do agree with you on that one. I don't get that, but thank you for the call, and don't be a stranger.
All righty. You stay fired up.
Good to talk to you. There you have it. Let's get you to traffic. 8:59. Gee, where did all the time go? Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, to roundabout or not to roundabout, that's what we'll be discussing tomorrow, and we'll either be ahead of the media curve or we won't be talking about anything relevant. Roundabouts running wild in the Treasure Valley. You know, folks that listen in Vegas or California or New England, they are envious of our good news cycle here at 580 KIDO. Anyway, Kay Milley with you. Appreciate you listening. Tell a friend. We'd like to be around a little while longer. Good day. God bless and keep the faith. Serving Meridian.